venerable religious, and dear parishioners, I came across that I believe an insightful quote, actually one of many insightful quotes from Bishop Sheen, and he says, isn't it interesting that what we call fasting, the world calls dieting? And essentially, they're both the same, is refraining from food. But to what great, the great difference is in what the purpose of it is. Fasting is to do penance, to atone, to strengthen one's willpower. Dieting, same kind of food deprivation, is done for self. So you could have a slimmer figure, or maybe for purposes of health. And of course, there's no supernatural reward for dieting. But there is great supernatural reward for fasting. So it's the intention that makes all the difference in the world. Why are we doing it? Does this mean that we can't be happy if we stand on the scale and see that it's gone down? No, it's just that we not make the weight loss our primary objective or our health the primary objective, because then it's diet, even though we're keeping the law. You know, even the Catholic Church recognizes the great benefits of fasting. It's good for your health, it really is. Some of the orations during Lent say, O God, who dost cleanse us spiritually through this fast and renew us physically, or words to that effect. So the Church recognizes the health benefits of fasting. But that's, again, not the primary reason. Otherwise, again, no reward in the next life, or no spiritual reward even in this life. You know, I just came across an interesting article just to show the benefits of fasting. This is an interesting study that just happened. A person's entire immune system can be rejuvenated by fasting for as little as 3 days. So you have to work yourself up to that point where you have nothing to eat for 3 days. And it completely rejuvenates, apparently it really rejuvenates your immune system. It helps the body to start producing new white blood cells. Although fasting diets have been criticized by nutritionists for being unhealthy, new research suggests starving the body kickstarts stem cells into producing new white blood cells, which fight off infection. Scientists at the University of Southern California say the discovery could be particularly beneficial for people suffering from damaged immune systems, such as cancer patients on chemotherapy. It can also help the elderly whose immune system becomes less effective as they age. The researchers say that fasting, quote, flips a regenerative switch, unquote, which prompts stem cells to create brand new white cells, essentially regenerating the entire immune system. Professor Valter Longo, professor of gerontology and the biological sciences at the University of California, says it's okay for stem cells to go ahead and begin proliferating and rebuild the entire system. And the good news is that the body got rid of the parts of the system that might be damaged or old, the inefficient parts, during the fasting. So, it's not harmful to the body. It's good for the body. Make that the secondary intention. We see that our Lord fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It's very clear that he didn't wait until sundown to eat. That's obviously a form of fasting. Somebody who goes the whole day without eating, those that are able to do it, but our Lord is doing a complete and total fast for 40 days. Does he need to do it? Has he determined? tempted even. When we say that our Lord was tempted by the devil, we mean that the devil tried to tempt him, that our Lord suffered no temptation. But our Lord is teaching us something. You see, that's how good our Lord is. That he didn't just tell us to walk the harder path, to carry our cross. No, he did it himself. He did penance. He fasted. He was extremely hungry after 40 days of not eating anything. Notice also that our Lord went into the desert, and that's something we don't reflect upon and think enough. The idea of fasting from other things. You see, our Lord was not only fasting from food, but he was fasting from creature comforts, such as they may have had back then, and also from social interaction. Now, this wasn't just to be antisocial, you know, get away from people just for that sake. No, our Lord's teaching us how to fast in other ways as well. And so fasting from food should not be the only thing that we distance ourselves from. We need to fast from other things, from creatures. This doesn't mean that, obviously, we can go into a desert, you have your jobs, you have to work at, and your employer is going to take kindly to that. Sir, I need to be off for 40 days. That would be a good lens. No, obviously not. Parents, you're raising families, you have to take care of these things. But still, there should be things we do where we're fasting from creatures. And why do we do this? Because it's a sacrifice. It atones for our past sins. The more we have sinned, the more penance we need to do. Penance straightens out and fixes all the things that went wrong through the sins of the past. But penance also strengthens us for the future by saying no to a desire we have. We are building up willpower. A very, very important part of our Catholic Christian life. Mortification is called. Denying ourselves to be stronger. But then there's something else that these other forms of fasting do. It helps us to see God. We know that we're supposed to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and put it first, but it gets in the way that creatures do. So by fasting from creatures, we're able to see God more clearly. And for an analogy, I would use our stained glass windows. You notice how much better the light comes in once they've been restored, cleaned, and there was a film that was put on the outside of the windows that was just glued onto the windows that was going to be damaging in the long run. So all of that was removed, and an exterior acrylic barriers put in, kind of making them double windows now. But getting that grime and dirt off and that film that wasn't going to help in the long run, it lets in the light better. So you see, by fasting from creatures, we get closer to God. We see things spiritually that we can't see during the rest of the year. This is why some people fast from Facebook, for example, just so that they're not involved in all the social interaction. Fasting from makeup. Fasting from media. You know, we have so much in the way of media nowadays with the internet and all that. What does that do? Does it help us to get closer to God, or does it most of the time prove a distraction from God? Distraction. Fasting from the use of makeup. Fasting from things we like to do. Again, it's all about, those things are about the body and about creatures. There's another kind of fasting I would suggest that I came across another article. It's titled, How a Good Lent Can Help Fix a Bad Economy. And in a sense, he's telling the author is writing to say the past for material things. Give up some purchases that we would like to make. And I'd like to read a little bit about this. And I suppose it really applies in our society because we're such a consumer-oriented society. We're bombarded. Isn't it true some studies say that we're bombarded with hundreds, if not thousands, of advertisements every day? And it's that consumerism. Gotta buy. Gotta get the newest thing. Gotta have, this. Gotta have that. Gotta spend your money. And many people get into credit card debt and other debts because they're not saying no to those purchases. Frenetic intemperance can be defined as a restless spirit inside certain sectors of the modern economy that foments a drive inside men to throw off legitimate restraints and gratify disordered passions. It is not a specifically economic problem, but a moral and psychological vice. When frenetic intemperance dominates, it often sends the whole system into convulsions, as we saw during the 2008 subprime mortgage crisis. And unless addressed, it is virulent enough to crash the entire financial system. So, some of the suggestions, and I'm just paraphrasing here, some of this: avoid speculative investments that promise huge returns on investment in little time. So often it's too good, if not always, too good to be true. Stay away from business relationships that are cold and mechanical. Avoid trendy business gurus and books that call for radical changes that will revolutionize a company or keep people in a constant state of change. Avoid compulsive buying, especially during those sale frenzies around the holidays. Shun the abuse of credit cards. Do not take as role models those who have money as the central axis of their lives. Admire character, not a person's bottom financial line. So just some ideas here. And, we're all different. I mean, we all need to do fasting to improve. That's very plain. But we have different likes and dislikes, so we have to choose those things to fast from. Again, what does fasting do? It atones for the past. It strengthens our willpower. And it helps us to see God. The light comes in better through the windows of our soul. My prayer is that we will all do this necessary fasting, not just from food, but from other things that we know we should make, should make sacrifices in their regard. And again, it's a very positive thing. Lent is such a time for spiritual growth, for spiritual advancement. So let's take that opportunity. And one other motive that can help us to do it: out of love. Jesus and Mary, our sorrowful mother, suffered so much. And today is Valentine's Day. It's all about the red hearts, about loving somebody. But remember this, that true love always means you have to suffer with the person you love. If you don't want to suffer with that person, you don't really love them, him or her. So as we go through Lent, we see our suffering Savior and our suffering mother. Out of love, let us join our sufferings, our sacrifices.